This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, airport expansion is being given the green light across the UK in the hope that it will deliver the economic growth the government is seeking. And Luton Airport is keen to make a huge expansion, looking for a near doubling of capacity to 32 million passengers per year. Whilst local jobs are promised, and many of us do love to be able to hop onto a convenient flight to the sun, many local groups are concerned about the environmental and health impacts that this expansion would have. One of those groups is the Luton and District Association for the Control of Aircraft Noise. I spoke to Ladakan Chair Andrew Lamborn, and I started by asking him to explain who everybody is, because whilst Luton Airport might be a thing on the ground when it comes to ownership and the running of the airport, the picture is much more complicated.
Sure, and thanks for having me on, Amanda. The airport as a piece of infrastructure is owned by Luton Borough Council on behalf of the people of Luton. But councils have to, these days, own airports through a separate company. So the council set up a company which used to be called London Luton Airport Limited, but is now branding itself Luton Rising. So Luton Rising is the company which owns the airport on behalf of Luton Borough Council. And most of its board comprise of members of Luton Borough Council. But Luton Rising isn't equipped in terms of knowledge and capability to run an airport. So it then allows a separate party altogether, a Spanish-owned company called London Luton Airport Operations Limited, to actually run the airport on its behalf.
Okay, well, that's helpful because that at least explains, you know, those names like Luton Rising that we've seen, how they fit into everything and how Luton Borough Council fits in as well. So Luton Rising has applied to almost double Luton Airport's capacity to 32 million passengers a year. And it does say that it's going to give the economy a huge boost and provide lots of local jobs. But what are the particular environmental and local effects that you were concerned about?
Well, we're concerned, and so in fact were the National Planning Inspectors who looked at this application over 6 months. They recommended that the application shouldn't be permitted. It's an application for a nationally significant infrastructure project, and the inspectors recommend to the Secretary of State whether or not to grant the application. And they said that it would have very significant negative impacts in terms of noise, in the local context, in terms of the impact on road and rail surface transport, in terms of air quality, and in terms of the impact on the Chilterns area of outstanding natural beauty. So they made a recommendation on balance, having taken everything into account, that this shouldn't go ahead. However, the Secretary of State in April, after having done some further investigation, decided to grant permission for this, what is called development consent order, to allow the airport owner to build on top of Wigmore Valley Park to provide extra parking and another terminal to, as you say, increase the passenger capacity from the current maximum of 19 million passengers a year to 32 million passengers a year, which would increase the number of flights very significantly. And in particular, because of the way the airport has chosen to go about this, to increase the number of night flights by 70%. And of course, flights at night tend to wake people up, disturb their sleep, and that in itself causes health impacts, which cause further costs on the NHS. So we, and in fact other local councils bordering the airport, felt that this should definitely be opposed. And having looked at the reasons the Secretary of State gave for overruling the planning inspectors, decided that there were grounds for legal challenge.
And what kind of legal challenge did you make? Because you couldn't appeal the Secretary of State, could you? So what did you do?
Well, the only way that you can challenge a decision like that is to go for what's called a judicial review. And that means you have to prepare a set of what are called grounds, why you feel the Secretary of State's decision was unlawful, bearing in mind the context, and then apply to the High Court for a judicial review. And when we did that, the High Court agreed that our grounds were, as they put it, arguable, and so the judicial review was granted. And what that then means is you have to, with the aid of generous and helpful local fundraisers, put enough money together to enable your legal team to create the detailed arguments which you take to the High Court.
So you did that? You put together your detailed case, as you say, with the help of local donations, and you thought that your case was going to be decided at the beginning of November, so you'd know either way. But that's not what happened, is it?
We knew that on the 4th and 5th of November, the hearings would occur in the High Court, and they did. So the judicial review was held on all of our reasons except for one. One of them, which was a challenge that said that the airport expansion relied heavily on what's called the Jet Zero strategy, which
could
is
you
a
explain
government...
to us, sorry, could you explain to us what that is?
Thank you. Yeah, the Jet Zero strategy is a government strategy which claims that we needn't be concerned about airport expansion because there are going to be mitigations that mean we'll still hit net zero targets even if we do it. The problem, as we and many other environmentally concerned people see it, is that Jet Zero doesn't yet stand up to scrutiny because it hasn't proven that its various methods of mitigating the impacts, in particular in emissions terms, of airport expansion will even work without some quite severe capacity reduction rather than increase. And we feel that it would be much more prudent to rely on measures that are proven in practice rather than what look like aspirations. Now, that strategy has already been challenged in court by third party, not us, but the group who are concerned about expansion of Leeds Bradford Airport, a group called Galba. They lost the original challenge against it, but they have now applied to the appeals court to appeal that decision by the High Court. And so, coming back to where we started, our reason for opposing the Secretary of State's decision to do with the Jet Zero strategy is held up waiting for that appeal in the appeals court. Now, when we first applied to the High Court, the judge said, we'll extend that delay until any possible challenge on net zero has been heard. And Luton Rising appealed against that extension, and we lost. And the way it works in terms of costs is that if you lose in court, the costs tend to fall on you for the opposition's lawyers as well as your own. Now, we already had cost protection in the High Court for our judicial review. What we didn't have was cost protection in the appeals court for their appeal. And so a judge has ruled that we need to find extra money to help pay towards the costs of that appeal by Luton Rising.
So these are legal fees that you didn't foresee, which you've now become liable for. Are you able to give us a rough idea about how much they are, how much you need to raise?
Roughly speaking, it's somewhere between £10,000 and £20,000. And on our crowdfunding page, which you can find by searching online for Crowd Justice Luton Airport, there's a little bit of background and there's a sort of a target which shows how we're going towards achieving the target we need to take account of those additional costs. And people have been incredibly generous since we asked for help. We've actually had £4,500 of additional donations, which is really moving and really appreciated, because we're doing this as volunteers. None of our group are paid anything for the time we spend. The only people we have to pay are our legal team, who obviously have to be as top-notch as we can afford and as professional as they can be.
So, Andrew, I just wonder, the government's recently published their climate plan, which has explained how they're going to meet their legally binding commitment to reduce the nation's greenhouse gas emissions. Do you think that your arguments have been strengthened by what you found in there?
Well, let me just fill in a bit of a gap in terms of where we are now. That the first five of our reasons were heard in the High Court, as I said, on the 4th and 5th of November, and we're expecting a decision on those fairly soon. And to some extent, they play into whether this final reason, this sixth reason on Jet Zero, in terms of our appeal, actually still survives or not. So we're hoping to hear fairly soon the outcome of the first five of our reasons that were argued in the High Court. Now, the point about decision-making in all of these things is the Secretary of State has to take account of knowledge at the time a decision is made. So things that have happened since April, when her decision was made, will be relevant if we're successful on any of our grounds and she has to remake the decision because the High Court quashes it. If that doesn't happen, if the High Court finds against us, we still have the option of an appeal on those five or possibly even six grounds to the appeals court. And so the process is never quite cut and dried until you've got as far as you can go with these things. And that's why they tend to become expensive. So even if we get the money, which we hope to pay these additional costs, it may be that we'll have to come back if we lose on the first five grounds and say, well, actually, we feel there are grounds for an appeal against this. And the High Court perhaps brings a slightly different perspective to things than the appeal court. And it's always really important in these cases to try to make sure that the law that you end up with in terms of decisions by courts is usable and relevant in terms of future litigation. I mean, there is still ongoing at the moment the Gatwick Airport decision, and they are also applying for a judicial review. And as we've heard recently in the news, Heathrow Airport is coming back onto the radar. But to turn to your question, having filled in the background a little bit more, it seems to me that as time goes on, the government's response to the issues of whether airport expansion is in fact wise in environmental terms is looking more and more precarious, because as time goes by, the bodies which advise the government, the expert bodies like the Climate Change Committee, and indeed in relation to the recent assessment of the carbon budget, are saying it is imprudent to continue to look at these things in isolation. You need an overall carbon budget which is commensurate with achieving net zero. And what I'm concerned about, and many others I'm sure are, the government doesn't actually even now seem to be very firm on whether or not it's going to try to achieve net zero. In terms of the UK economy, airports, of course, help people to go overseas and spend money. And in 2019, there was a balance of trade deficit in tourism of £30 billion. So although we're not saying by any means people should never fly anymore, and we're not saying that jobs aren't useful, what we are saying is that we need now green jobs, and we need frequent flyers not to fly in what I call frivolous journeys, so that, for example, those who only fly once a year may continue to choose to do so. Airlines make money when people fly, so their job is to try to pacify us all into thinking it doesn't have an environmental impact, or if it does, we'll plant a few trees, or we'll use sustainable aviation fuel, even though there's no proven use of it at the sort of scale that would be required to offset the emissions. I'm sure that people who are environmentally aware will look behind the sound bites into the real issues surrounding airport expansion and continued reliance in the UK economy on airport growth.
Andrew, thank you very much for joining me today and telling us about that.
Thank you, Amanda. That's very kind of you to have me.
I was talking there to Andrew Lambourne of campaign group Ladakan. And if you're interested in finding out more or would like to give your support, I'll pop a link to the Ladakan website and to their fundraising crowd justice webpage into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. Just before you go, a big thank you to everybody who sent in their recordings telling me about their nature highlights from 2025. Now, just to remind you, I'm preparing the Christmas and New Year editions of Environment Matters, and I'm hoping to feature your nature highlights from 2025. So, can you help? All you need to do is send me a recording or voice message telling us what your nature highlight was this year and why it particularly made an impression on you. No nature knowledge is needed, and your highlight needs it be of anything rare or exceptional, just something that made an impression on you. You can send me your recording via email. I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com, or look for Environment Matters on Mix92.6 on X and on Facebook. And I've just got time for a quick shout out for some festive low carbon fun on Wednesday the 10th of December at St Saviour's Church in St Albans at 7 o'clock in the evening. Now, by popular request, the Mix Carol Concert fundraiser is back with an evening featuring four great local choirs singing festive favourites and raising funds for Hearts Young Homeless and Hertfordshire's very own community radio station Mix. Get your ticket on the Mix website and I'll see you there. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.